Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Hey B'Tammuz Tafshin Ayin Hey Parashas Chukat, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 21 June 2015, webcasting from the last place on earth where Jew killing remains legit. We had another on Friday. A Jew was hiking for fun in Benjamin's tribal land with a friend. And I think they were in their car afterwards, and they were flagged down by an Ishmaelite signaling them for help or something. And Danny Gonin, 25 years old, who was later described as the nicest guy, slowed down. The Ishmaelite walked up to him at the wheel, surprised him with a gun, and shot four bullets into him and murdered him dead, while wounding his friend less seriously before running off. Following Shabbos, Danny was laid to his eternal rest. The latest Jewish Shahid, martyr to Jewishness, slain by yet another violent Hamitic monster on two legs, without a conscience. Now, let me take that back. I know nothing of this man's conscience. What I do know is that he has been told that the Jews are the most evil people on earth. Told this by his spiritual teachers, the priests of Islam. And for sure, he has also heard that the Jews stole Palestine from Palestinians like himself. Of course he shot him dead. Indeed, the very next day, the foreign minister of France, born a Jew but raised a Roman Catholic, was in Egypt, where he told the Egyptians about his plan, France's plan, to take the management of the peace process away from the United States and give it to the UN Security Council, which will pass a resolution whose text he has been working on, calling for all the hundreds of thousands of Jews living in Judea and Samaria must be driven from their homes on such and such a date, including all the Jews living in Jerusalem on land that was in Muslim hands until 1967. And maybe, who knows, the attempted Jew killing today in Jerusalem was stimulated by this visit today of this very same Frenchman, the very same Laurent Fabius, who came to tell our prime minister the same thing. The prime minister this morning in the weekly cabinet meeting said he would fight fiercely any plan to impose a solution by any outside party. Only face-to-face negotiations are acceptable, he said. Whatever the influence of the atmosphere generated by the appearance of this anti-Jew Jew from France, the land of the Dreyfus Affair, or not, another homicidal Arab savage this morning pounced upon the back of a border guard soldier outside Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. The barbarian, apparently like a fighter throwing a combination of punches, was able to very quickly stab the soldier several times in the neck and the chest, the blade striking at one point even into the heart. But the soldier, amazingly, was still able to cock his gun and shoot this wild ass of a man several times, dropping him before himself losing consciousness. First responders found the two of them lying there in blood. Sped both of them off to the hospital. The soldier arrived on the threshold of death and was operated on, even in the ER, I think, and by evening was reported to be stable and no longer moments from death. The chances are excellent. He is a Druze who dominate in the border patrol. We'll know soon enough. Some commentators point to the onset of Ramadan today as an explanation for this violence, but I have my doubts. There's always a reason 24/7 to fantasize murdering Jews, and at this moment, there surely are some Arabs doing that, and from time to time, some of them act out the fantasy. Interestingly enough, this 24/7 motivation is never raised in Israel. It's one of the great taboos. For example, as we look at another top story here, consider Israel's response to last Thursday's statement in the Security Council by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He is a worthy representative of the anti-Semitic United Nations. He addressed the council in the matter of a special report prepared on the harm done to children in conflict zones, in which only one country was named. Guess which one? In an initial draft of this report, authored by an Algerian woman, whose people are among the most violent and savage on earth, Israel was compared in its treatment of ancient Palestinian children to Boko Haram, infamous for kidnapping hundreds of Christian girls, forcing them to convert and marrying them against their will, which in practice means raping them all the time. That specific comparison was removed from the first draft after protests by Israel. But in the end, during his speech last Thursday, Ban Ki-moon did single out Israel among all the nations of the world for special condemnation for Israel's crimes against children in conflict zones, referencing last summer in Gaza. Ban Ki-moon did mention the terrible abuse of children in Central Africa, in the Republic, in Iraq, Nigeria, South Sudan, and Syria, but he called on one country only to stop its actions. Quote, he said, "I urge Israel to take concrete and immediate steps to protect and prevent the killing and maiming of children and to respect the special protections afforded to schools and hospitals," close quote. Israel's ambassador, Ron Prosor, later complained that Israel was fighting a defensive war at the time against a terrorist organization which was launching rockets into Israeli civilian areas. Evidently, this was not mentioned in either the report or Ban Ki-moon's speech. Prosor said the report was, quote, "politicized and stained with special interests and distorts reality." He called for an investigation into the actions of the Secretary General's office and the authoress of this report, complaining about the manner in which the report was prepared. Well, as I say, this is an example of how Israel responds to such accusations and really has yet to figure out how to answer them. There is one response that we never hear from Israel that goes to the Achilles heel of the people of Israel today, of Herzl's post-Jewish state of Israel, leastwise among its ruling class. Not one word is ever spoken from a Ron Prosor or any leader that anti-Semitism is at work here, which is telling whopping lies about Jews, accusing us of being the most evil people in the world, accusations with no basis in reality or truth. Israeli diplomats routinely do not use the word anti-Semitism to describe what is said about us. They never point out the delusional reality. Instead, they protest the manner in which such a report was prepared. They call for an investigation when no investigation is needed. The facts are plain. The state of Israel has become the last piece of dry land on planet Earth, where the random murder of Jews is experienced as no crime, even a praiseworthy activity. Not until the French Revolution in Europe did Jews enjoy the rights and protections of citizens everywhere they lived. They lived on sufferance and the whims of the Gentile overlords, who told them where they could and could not live. And today, we are murdered because the Goyim tell us we have no right to live in Judea and Samaria. And because we do not obey their prohibition, they understand completely, for example, the firing of rockets and mortars out of Gaza into Jewish homes and villages, into Jewish playgrounds. About this, the Nations United says nothing. It was Sharia law for centuries that one could attack a Jew and he was forbidden to fight back. He could run away, but not fight back. And so the UN has become, in effect, an arm of Sharia. By chastising Israel for returning fire into Gaza, how dare they? Interesting, too, in Ban Ki-moon's address was the egregious distortion of reality and truth. His admonition to Israel to pay special attention to schools and hospitals reflects a blindness to the truth that Israel always does when the hospital or school has not been turned into an arsenal of weapons and used against us. This admonition by Ban Ki-moon is a sign that all of Israel's precautions in the end can go for naught. The Goyim pay no attention. They act as if Israel did not pay special attention to schools and hospitals. Israel has, the IDF has, every square meter of Gaza mapped and identified buildings. And here are the Nations United against us, acting as if this was not true. It's the Arabs who deliberately blow themselves up in fast food restaurants favored by Jewish families with children, and it's Israel that gets accused of the callous, even deliberate maiming and killing of children. Someday, God willing, Israelis will wake up and realize that all the reasons that they are hated are anti-Semitic fantasies, this generation's version, as these anti-Semitic fantasies have plagued us in all generations past.
אם במשובות לב שגינו, אנא הראה לנו דרך. אם בדרכים לא סלולות היינו, הושט לנו יד מכוונת. אם חטאנו או הלכנו בשבילים אסורים, פגע בנו אך ענה, הנח לילדים. אם נאטמנו מאיש לאחיו, אנא אל פתח את ליבנו. אם הקשנו עד להכאיב, אנא רכך את ידינו. אם סטינו מנתיב האמת בין אלפי מחוזות של שקרים, פגע בנו אך אנא, הנח לילדים. הנח לילדים. יברכך וישמרך, יאר אדוני פניו אליך, יחונק תשובות הלב שגינו, אנא הראה לנו דרך. אם בדרכים לא סלולות היינו, הושט לנו יד מכוונת. אם חטאנו או הלכנו בשבילים אסורים, פגע בנו אך ענה, הנח לילדים. שמע אל אמהות כואבות לילות כימים, פתח ליבך אל אבות דואגים וחולמים, תן ידך הנח לילדים. שמע אל אמהות כואבות לילות כימים, פתח ליבך אל אבות דואגים ו... הנח לילדים, ואנא רק אנא, הנח לילדים.
Yeah, Prime Minister Netanyahu late last Thursday issued a statement responding to the speech earlier in the day in New York given by Ban Ki-moon to the UN Security Council. He used the word hypocrisy for comparing the abuse of children by Syrians and the collateral damage to children in Gaza last summer, and the singling out by name of Israel for a public scolding about not harming children in conflict zones. Netanyahu called it a black day for the United Nations. There's no limit, he said, to the UN's hypocrisy. But again, not having seen the full text of his statement, I reckon Bibi as well did not use the term anti-Semitism, let alone Jew hatred, which is what this behavior is all about. Indeed, I reject the Prime Minister's description that this was a black day for the UN. And I say, no way, it was a routine day. There was nothing black about it. For as my research shows, Jew bashing is virtually a daily occurrence at the UN. I discovered that between 1945, when it opened its doors, and 1989, almost half a century, over 55,000 anti-Israel votes were recorded, each vote from a member state turning thumbs down on the one Jewish state. 30% of all UN resolutions in that period were about Israel, and so last Thursday, it was a ritual performance, as routine as daily mass in a busy Catholic church. There's something ritualistic about this, and one would think that after all these years, the Prime Minister of Israel would be neither shocked nor indignant at such a routine performance. This is why Israel needs to mature and outgrow the worst of the otherwise wonderfully successful secular Zionist movement and mindset that brought Eretz Yisrael back to life. It was a wonderful movement, but it went so far and no further. And it also failed at its stated goal, failed completely, for what propelled the Zionists was the belief that evacuating Europe would put an end to the hostility. We would get out of everyone's hair and the anti-Semitism evaporate, like the morning fog over San Francisco Bay. Only, clearly, that has not happened. And there's no denying today's rising tide of Jew hatred, disguised as pity for the ancient Palestinians forced to trade places with the wandering Jews. Yeah, the Jews had a right to have a state of their own, but not at the price of getting the ancient Palestinians to take their place as homeless, stateless victims of a racist ideology. J-Post reported today that in Cologne, in Germany, the city fathers have reversed themselves and nullified a decision last week not to allow those Israeli anti-Semites in the Breaking the Silence group to exhibit their lies. Cologne, J-Post said, has seen many anti-Israel exhibits over the years. It originally had planned to show the Breaking the Silence group's anti-Semitic display, alleging, just like Ban Ki-moon, IDF war crimes against the victims of Zionism, scheduled it for this coming fall, but the Israeli embassy persuaded the municipality to cancel the exhibit. But then, last Tuesday, the city said it would permit the exhibit in the spring of next year, in some other context, I believe. Cologne, remember, was also in the news in recent years for the construction of one of the largest mosques in Europe, and the opposition to it at the time, which failed. It's meant to compete in size with the famous Gothic cathedral there. We had a similar situation back in 1999 when Prime Minister Ehud Barak put a stop to the building of a mosque in Nazareth after the Catholic Church complained, which was meant to compete in size right next door with the Basilica of the Annunciation. That's Ishmael, all right. In both locales, he is a constant aggressor against others. In Cologne, the situation of the BTS is even worse, for according to one German journalist who monitors anti-Semitism, one Alex Feuerhaut, said that the two major newspapers there, the Kölner Stadtanzeiger and the Süddeutsche Zeitung, BTS group, and even, fasten your seatbelts now, blame Jews for anti-Semitism, and not the anti-Semites themselves. These newspapers, he said, quote, give the irrational anti-Semitic resentment a rational basis by claiming that the city of Cologne subjugated itself to the power of the Jewish state when it pulled the plug on that exhibit. Got that? Israel protests this anti-Semitic display of lies. The city agrees to remove it and, by agreeing, subjugates itself to the Jewish state. No wonder anti-Semitism is on the rise when the state of the Jews forces a German city to do its bidding. That's the implication. So Israel complained to the UN about the bias in that report last week penned by that Muslim woman from Algeria. Complained about the secrecy in which it was put together, which excluded Israeli input, but never says anything of the age-old, functionally hallucinatory fantasies of Jewish evil that does not exist. Israel says nothing of the functionally psychotic denial at the UN when the UN complains that Israel doesn't respect schools and hospitals, as it says nothing of the rocket barrages shot from those schools and hospitals that trigger Israel's self-defense. In every generation, hostility to the Jews is a form of mental illness, the casting out of inner demons and devils from the Gentiles onto the Jews, the functionally delusional mind work that distorts reality. The very idea of Jews and whom, with a capital W, they represent, rattles men's souls. Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, Cologne in Deutschland seems to be a place where Christendom is under attack. like elsewhere in Europe, attacked by Muslims, and perhaps in fear and frustration, the Germans strike out at the Jews, as Germans have done so often in their history. The Holocaust was not the first time Germans went crazy over Jews and massacred them big time. And one suspects it is that awareness by Germans of their own shrinking community that triggers this behavior. Like other Europeans, they are committing suicide by not reproducing, as the Muslims all around them do, like rabbits. How convenient in that situation to strike out at the Jews and paint us as war criminals. It's happening all over Western Europe. Last week, the excellent Italian journalist Giulio Meotti reported on Israel National News that in the UK, some 10,000 churches have already shut their doors over the past years, and another 4,000 are expected to close over the next 5 years. At least, that is what The Spectator was reporting, the venerable British magazine, that predicted the end of Christianity altogether in Britain over the next 50 years. Even more immediate, only 17% of Brits these days identify with the CofE, the Official Church of England, down from 21% 3 years ago. At this rate, there will be no Anglicans 18 years from now. At the same time, over the last 3 years, the number of Muslims is believed to have increased by 1 million. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Carey, has said another generation of Christianity in England will be extinct. And one can only wonder what that will mean for the people who are there who are not Muslims. Sharia law has a record 14 centuries long of its treatment of infidels, and it's not pretty. One does not even have to dig into that history. Meotti reports that Mosul, which before the current collapse of Iraq was home to 60,000 Christians and over 45 churches, today has no Christians. And all of those churches have been turned into mosques. All the Christians have fled. And all of their homes have been confiscated, taken over by Muslims. On the Gatestone site, journalist Raymond Ibrahim, whose father is an Egyptian Copt and was a longtime reporter for the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, keeps track of Christian communities in the world where people are being murdered in their churches. This has happened in the Central African Republic, in Kenya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Uganda, and there's more. Which information I take to be yet another piece of evidence that the President of the United States not only lied when he said you can keep your doctor if you like, but also when he said he was a Christian. If he were a Christian, one might think he would say something about these horrors and propose some kind of action. But of course, he says nothing. This man is a Muslim dissembler. That big smile of his is the phony smile of a con man who conned an entire country. I think he's the greatest enemy agent in the history of enemy agents. He sweet-talked his way into taking over the enemy country in order to destroy it. What a turn of events. Thank you. Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, with no more murders between now and then, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Eretz Yisrael.